It's just something that when we learn the parasha, we always have to see how to read the psukim and then how it applies to our life. Because what is Torah called? Torah is chayim. So if you learn Torah and it doesn't apply to your life, then it doesn't count as Torah. So in this week's parasha, we have the makos, and the mitzvahim are really getting it. So here it is. You have the makah of dam, and the chartumim also do it. The chartumim also turn the water into blood. And I once heard a very good question. You know what would have been a better trick than turning the water into blood? Why don't they turn all the blood back into water? They needed water. They didn't need more blood. The trick there, remember the Jews, Aaron made it into the blood, water into blood, and then the chartumim went ahead, and they said, no big deal, we can also make water into blood. Look. But what the mitzvahim really needed, they didn't need more blood. They needed water. So they should have done a better trick and made turn the blood back into water. But anyway, that's what they did. They turned the water into blood. They said, you can do the trick, we can do the trick. So it says in the Pasuk, Vayifin Paro, Paro turned, Vayabu Obey, so he goes back home. What happens? You go home, you're not interested. Below Shas Libo Gamlazos. And he didn't pay any attention even also to this. So, Chazal say, in the Medrash, Paro turns, goes back home, Velo Chashash Velo Hirgish B'makas HaLokin. He didn't feel, and he wasn't concerned, with the Makkah, with the plague of God, of Hashem. So, one of my favorite teachers was Rav Yeruchim. Rav Yeruchim Alevi Levavitz. He was the Mashkiach in the Mir Yeshiva in Poland, and he died in the year 1936. So he has a book, anybody who's serious about getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and wants to grow in Musar, in Avodas Hashem, in Midos Tovos, in Emunah, so you have to learn Rav Yeruchim HaLevi, the Sefer Das Chachmo Musar. He was something very, very special. And many of the great Rabbanim today are students of his students. So he taught, as a matter of fact, Rav Volba was a very popular Baal HaShor. He was one of his Talmidim. So he says that from here, the Torah teaches us the secret of Paro. Anyone ever want to know the secret of Paro? What was Paro? Paro was a Russian. He was a bad guy. What was the secret of Paro's rishus? So, it says in the Pasuk, Vayichazek leiv Paro v'lo shama aleihem, that Paro's heart was strengthened, he didn't listen. So the Rishonim say that he was afraid of the Makos. The Ramban says he was afraid of the Makos, but he overcame his nature. And he said, no, I can't be afraid. There is nothing to fear but fear itself. So Paro said, I'm not going to be afraid. So he overcame his natural inclination was to be afraid. But Paro said, I'm not going to be afraid of the Makos. So it wasn't that Paro did anything. It wasn't that Paro did something active not to be afraid. He was just, did nothing. He just went home and he didn't pay any attention. Had he started paying attention, he would have been able to discern that there's a big difference between what Hashem is doing and what the Chartumim are doing. And that's what Rabbi Yeruchim explains elsewhere, what in fact was the difference. But when you see all these Makos, and the Chartumim couldn't do all of them, right? When the people who were Paro's sorcerers weren't able to do all of the Makos, right? Just the beginning. But Paro, even at the beginning there was a difference between what Aaron did and what the sorcerers did, and that's what he discusses in another Maimah. But that's not our topic right now. Our topic is how a human being can be so stone-hearted as to not to pay attention to what was happening in his country. Hashem is destroying his country, and he is not paying any attention. How can that be? Answer is, Pasuk says, he just, lo shas libo. He didn't pay any attention. So what is that koach? What's that? Where does that koach come from, not to pay any attention? There's a Jewish midah, which is basically one of the worst of all the midahs you can possibly have. And that's the midah of leitzanus. Who knows what leitzanus means?
Clown.
People always define it as being a clown. The clown. And they say, like, that's the worst. You know who's identified with leitzanus? Amalek. The Pasuk says, Leitz take o pesi yarim, that a clown gets whacked, and a peti, a fool, becomes wise. So Chazal say, who is a fool? Who got whacked? Leitz, who is the Leitz? Who is the clown that got smitten? Amalek. And who became wise? Yisrael. So Amalek is identified with Leitzanus. Now, if Amalek is associated with being a clown, has anyone ever heard any good Amalek jokes? Okay, so an Amalekite, a priest and a rabbi are stuck in an elevator. You never heard any. They're not funny. Germans, Nazis, were they fun? Do they have a sense of humor? No. They're not funny people. Okay? Arabs, they're also identified with Amalek, because they have many of the characteristics, many of the Arabs, of the Amalekites. Okay? Are they funny? So why is Amalek identified with being a clown? The answer is Leitzanus is not just to be a clown. It's a lot more than that. Leitzanus means that you take something important, a value, and you devalue it. In other words, how do people usually devalue things? With humor. They just make a joke about it, they make light of it. But that's the koach of Leitzanus. Leitzanus means take something important and you devalue it. So the pasuk says, Ish lefima halalo. Every person, so the pasuk can be understood to mean that you know every person according to how people praise him. Ish, how do you know a person? Lefima halalo, how people praise him. So for example, if I look at Ariel and I say, Ariel has sterling qualities. And Ariel comes to shir every night. He never misses. And Ariel is a sweet boy with a lot of Yiras Shemayim. So now you know about Ariel. There's another way to know about Ariel. You know how you know about Ariel? By what he praises. Not Ish Lefi Mahalo, by how I praise him, by how what Ariel praises. So let's say a person says, I was at this heavy metal concert. It was the greatest night of my life. Oh my gosh! There was weed. There was booze. There were girls. There was music. Music. Quote, loud noise. Men screaming at the top of their lungs about how they really want to commit suicide, but they're not sane enough to do it right now. Okay? They don't know how right now. They completely lost their mind. Now, is that what you praise? You praise heavy metal? Other people praise food. Prison's always talking about food. Oh, wow, that was some meal I had. And that's always what they're talking about or what they're focusing on. Other people are always talking about clothing, vacations. By what someone praises, you can tell a lot about the person. Right? Person says, who's your hero? You know who my hero is? You know who my hero is? Kobe Bryant. That's the question. Have you ever seen him play? If you like basketball and you've ever seen him play, you'll know why he's my hero. He's my hero. So if that's your hero in this world, that says a lot about you. That's why you go into a teenager's room and you see who's on his wall. That tells you about the teenager. So when I was a kid, I had large men with muscles who were engaged in running after a piece of leather, whether it was a piece of chazir painted brown and white, or it was a cow's hide, and they were all, and it had hot air inside, and everybody was running after it while wearing their underpants, yes, and undershirts, and they were all running after it to get it and put it inside a net. And they're all running after each other, and that was their life. And they would spend their entire childhood and adulthood doing that. And they had a parnassah from it, a good parnassah. But me, what did I have from it? Nothing. But those are my heroes. There was even a man in he was the melech. His name was Bernard King. Wow. You remember Bernard King? Could he play? Unstoppable. One night, he had two broken legs, a broken arm. Yes. And he had 109 fever, and he went out, and he burned the Pistons for 47 points. It was something that a man will never forget. It was just, the man was a miracle worker. And he was on Rosh Hashanah. Now we're talking about in Yonei Rosh Hashanah. When the Chazim would go up there, and he would say, HaMelech! I would think, what? Bernard is here! Those are the heroes. And then I got a little bit more religious. Excuse me for telling my life story. I'm leaving out the good parts. These are the boring parts. I got a little more religious. I had to pay some lip service or some picture service. I put a picture of Rabbi Feinstein up on my wall. But I said, you know what? I'm putting him the highest up to show he's greater than everybody else. I didn't take them down. Now, in retrospect, I see. How can Reb Moshe share a wall? I'm saying he would look, not even modest to look at men not dressed properly. But Reb Moshe Feinstein on the same wall as, you know, Jesse Orosco. Now, it happens to be that Reb Moshe Feinstein wasn't pitching well into his 40s in the major leagues. That is true. He never won a World Series, Reb Moshe Feinstein. But still, it wouldn't be appropriate to put him on the same wall. But those are the people. So, Ish Lefi Mahalo. So, if you ask, what type of guy is he? You'd say, well, I'll tell you who his heroes are. And if you tell me who his heroes are, I'll tell you who he is. Other people, they want something more Jewish. So who's their hero? Seinfeld. He's Jewish, right? But that is Ish Lefi Mahalo. Everybody needs a hero. And that's why when you have children, I know who your heroes might be, some of yours, or have been. But when you raise children, I'm telling you in advance that it's worthwhile to be vigilant that you create for them the type of heroes who you would want them to emulate. Okay, so in retrospect, when I read about the lives of those people who I emulated as a child and whom I admired and whom I wanted to get their signature, and now I see the way they live there, you know, after the game, they weren't going to the local library to read books on philosophy and virtue and character improvement. Yes, just about every famous person, just about most people in the world, saying the more money they have, they're spending their free time doing things that I would never want my children to do. So therefore, if you have heroes, if you're going to have pictures up on your wall, just like I have my Gadol gallery of my maternal and paternal grandfathers and great uncles on both my mother and father's side, Baruch Hashem, I have pictures up on the wall over there. That's Rav Kook. That's the Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe, the third Ger Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Yisrael Kuttner, Rav Adi Yosef, the Tolna Rebbe. So I specifically over there I have the Lubavitcher Rebbe and his father-in-law. It's a very good picture of Lubavitcher Rebbe as a young man. And I have Rav Shimon Shkup and Rav Chaim Ozer having a talk on the forest. So these are the people. The reason I put those pictures up is because these are the people that I want my children to emulate. Those are the heroes. So Ish Lefi Mahalalo, based on what you praise, is what you, that tells you about the person. Whatever a person gets excited about, that's him. So if a person gets excited and says, wow, you know, the other day in Yeshiva, Rav Pinto came! The holy Rav Pinto! And the guy starts shaking. That says something about him. I remember one time I was at the Kotel, and it was a Friday night. It was an exciting, I don't remember why I was there. They told me about it afterwards, but I've been davening at the, I've been living in the old city now for 17 years. So I spend a lot of time at the Kotel. And a great gadol came to the Kotel. The big O. Oscar Robertson. Wow. The big O. In the 1960s, he was a great basketball superstar. And it was hard for those who knew him to really focus on their davening, because the big O was at the Kotel. Now, there have been other people at the Kotel also, famous Gentile women who publicly undress and then learn in Kabbalah centers in Los Angeles. All of these things. People get excited about them. Wow! Wouldn't that be exciting? The answer? Ish Lefi Mahalalo. If that's what gets you excited, that says something about you. And that's why, in order to improve ourselves, we have to learn what to praise and what not to praise. So I want to read you a little bit of what Rav Yerucham writes, and then we will have a maskana lemaisa mir tashem at the end to learn how not, the reason the Torah tells us about Paro is to teach us how not to be like Paro. Right? You have to tell stories about good people and bad people to learn who to be like and who not to be like. So it says, in the Medrash, Yisah saying, P.M. Shalminim, Im Laleitzim, Hu Yalitz. So the mouths of the Minim should be closed. If they will be Laitzim, then Hu Yalitz, he will become, if he's a Letz, he will have Leitzanis. Why? Because Paro gets a Hasra. He's warned, punished, warned, punished. Doesn't do anything to him. Right? So for some of the Makos, Hashem hardened his heart, but for some he hardened his own. So Paro had this power of Leitzanis. What does he say? What does it mean? Inyan HaLeitzanis, says the great Rav Yerucham, Hu Shalom HaHakir Maila. Anything important, you make light of it. You make fun of it. The rabbi gets up to speak on Shabbos, and you make some crack. I remember once I was in yeshiva many years ago, and the rabbi was trying to give the boys mussar. It's good, it's shovim now. I'm sure a lot of you guys are fasting. To be metaken the pgama bris. So he was giving a speech about Yosef HaTzadik, and the rav was saying how Yosef was walking through Mitzrayim, and all the girls, all the teeny boppers were throwing their jewelry at him. So the handsome Yosef will look at them, and you guys can picture yourselves as Yosef. Why? Because you're all handsome. Okay, and all the girls would be after you. And all the pretty Egyptian Sephardi looking girls are throwing things at him. Look at me, Joseph, look at me, like a rock star, look at me. And Joseph isn't looking. So there are two possibilities. My Rebbe in the Shiva said, either that Yosef is a big tzaddik, or, and then one of the boys listening to the shir said, he was gay. And everybody giggled, because that's why he wasn't looking, because he wasn't interested. And everybody broke out laughing. And afterwards, the Rav took this boy aside, and he said, I want to tell you that you destroyed the whole shir. The whole message I was trying to get across about Kedushas Einayim, and about Tara, and about Yisod, the meat of Yisod, Avodas Hashem, that the foundation. If you don't have this foundation, you don't have anything. If you're not careful about your eyes, you don't have Torah, you don't have tefillah, you have zero. I'm trying to convey that message. You made one little crack, and I lost everything. What does it say in Mesilas Yesharim? Leitzanus achas, doche mea tochachos. One little crack will ruin 100 shirim. 100 Thursday night Musar Shmuzes, or Chugs, or anything you hear, you go to hear a big rav. One crack can destroy everything. The Mesilas Yesharim compares it to a shield. Right? Somebody shoots an arrow at a shield, and the shield has oil on it. What happens to the arrow? It just falls right down. That's what a leitzanus is. So we have to be very careful. So this boy learned a lesson for life, and I, who was present, also learned a lesson for life. How dangerous leitzanus is. Because he's talking to us about something very important, and this person's making light of it. He's making a stupid crack. So that is the Sholish of Paro, Leitzanus. Lahakel b'chol davar, everything's important. His slotzitzus huapol yotze. If you don't value things, if you devalue something, what are you going to do? You're going to make a crack about it. But again, the definition of Leitzanus is to devalue something. And the way you devalue it is by making a silly crack, is by making a joke. And that's why Rabbeinu Yonah says in his famous Shari Tshuva, that the first, he talks about Leitzanus. So he says there, it's very important to look there because it's not well known, the different aspects of Leitzanus. And Shari Tshuva is not enough learned either. It's a very, very important fundamental sefer. So he says there, number one is Nesinas Dofi. What is Nesinas Dofi? To cast dispersions. You make light of something. You make fun of something. You say this doesn't mean anything. And then he says, Lag. You make jokes about it. You make fun of it. But there are two different things. First, you devalue something. And then, after you devalue it, now you can make fun of it. It's so funny. All right, talk about Olam Haba. You make some joke about heaven, what heaven's like. Like the movies. There are movies, what's heaven like in the movies? Right? There was a movie once, Heaven Can Wait, in the 1970s. You'll forgive me, guys, that all the movies I know were well before your parents ever met. But there was a movie, Heaven Can Wait. Right? In heaven, all these angels flying around, everything is cute and cool, and you know, and there's one movie about with George Burns. George Burns plays God. Right? And George Burns is like an old Jewish guy. You know, he smokes a cigar, he's got a good sense of humor. So yeah, it's God. Like, we're supposed to be shaking God. Yiras Shemayim, saying the whole creation is for Yiras Shemayim. Right? And Hamat Tov, we were supposed to be giving Yiras Shemayim. At the very beginning of time, Bereshis, Yorei Boshes, we're supposed to have fear. And what's God? God's an old guy with a good sense of humor who likes to smoke cigars and drink martinis. So what is it? People have no fear anymore. And that's exactly what Leitzanus says. Oh, what's Olam Haba? It's just the rest of eternity. What am I going to be doing for the rest of eternity? And what do they do in the movies? They make a joke about it. It's a cute little place. Everybody goes there. You know, it's fun. You know, angels have a sense of humor. Angels also go out and dates with girls. You know, the food is... All these different things. It just makes it light in your eyes. And then you don't realize that we're dealing here with what's going to happen to your soul for the rest of eternity. And for them, it's a big joke. So that's what he says. And then, so again, since it doesn't have value for them, then they make a joke about it. But since for us it has value, we have to take it seriously. Nesinas dofi hu azilzul v'yakara. When you give dofi, it means that you're mizalzil, how do you say mizalzel in English?
Desecrate.
Belittle. I think it's probably better. And you don't recognize. Im l'leitzim, if a person is a letz, if a person doesn't think things are important, Hu yaretz, then he is going to be in a state where he doesn't pay any attention to things in life. And therefore, there are some people, when they get cancer, you know, I remember once somebody was reading a book. There was a boy in yeshiva who wasn't learning much, but he used to like to read books. A lot of boys in yeshiva, in the olden days, today it's not like that anymore. When I was in yeshiva, a lot of people started reading when they got to Israel. Why? Because there was nothing else to do in the dorms. So they would just sit and read books. In high school, they could watch TV and they can go places. In yeshiva, they would read books. But now, in our day, there's plenty to do in the dorm. You can watch a DVD, you have your cell phone. There's a lot of other things to keep people busy, so I don't think reading is as popular today. But it used to be very popular, and still people read. It keeps them busy. But the person's learning. Learning's the ideal. So anyway, this guy was reading Lance Armstrong's biography, autobiography. So he was saying how he got cancer, and he learned an important lesson from his cancer. You know what he learned? How important bicycling is. You know, he's a big cyclist. He's like the world's greatest. And he said, now I'm going to redouble my efforts to be the world's greatest cyclist. And he did. He overcame. He recovered. And now he got back on that bicycle, and he is the world's greatest cyclist. I don't know if he still is, but at the time he was. So why do I think that's a little bit silly? Because when someone gets cancer, we believe that Hashem is sending them a message, and maybe it's that riding a bicycle isn't the most important thing in life, and yet the message he got from it was that riding a bicycle is the most important thing in life. I'll never forget, when I was a kid, I used to be a big college basketball fan. So my favorite team, of course, was the Yeshiva University Maccabees. Because, you know, those guys running around with the yarmulkes, that was always exciting for me. To see it in the newspaper, oh, Yeshiva won, Yeshiva lost. But, you know, to get a little bit of a higher level, there was a team called the North Carolina State Wolfpack. Ah! And they had a holy coach. The holy coach's name was Jimmy Valvano. Now, Jimmy Valvano was an Italian man who his whole life was dedicated to basketball. One day he got cancer, and he became sicker and sicker and sicker. And before he died, they had a profile of him. And you know what he said? He said, ladies and gentlemen, I have wasted my life. Now I realize, now that I got sick, I realize that my life was about running after 17-year-olds, trying to convince them to play for me, trying to win a game, and he did anything to win. He was a little bit of a, not always so honest also. He got in a lot of trouble. But my whole life was that. He was a guy in his mid-40s, and now I'm suffering and I'm about to die, and I neglected my wife and I neglected my children, and now I realize what my life was about. Now, I've never read such powerful mussar, because he was a person, he didn't come from yeshiva. He didn't, but he took the mussar. Other people, they just make light of it. Ah! That's what Hashem is telling me. No! Hashem is telling me I have to win a championship before I die. Because that's what Hashem cares about. So it depends what lesson you learn. And then, again, the Leitzana says you devalue. You say it's not important. What it really is important. What really isn't important, you say is important. And then the outcome is you're going to make jokes about things that are really important. That's it. And that's why it says, Kas Leitzim, if a person is a Letz, he doesn't see Hashem. You know, Hashem, you know, receives people like great Mekubalim. You know, Rabbi David Abuchatzera sees somebody. You know, the vision sir Rabbi, he has a private audience with you, the Belzer Rabbi, whoever it might be. Right? Hashem, you don't get a private audience if you're a Letz. Why? Because you don't think Hashem is important. Therefore, you can't get an audience. Kiyin Leitzenes, you have a Kol HaBriya. The whole Briya is to give kavod to what's important. As we have to know, have what we call in English, a value system. We have to have a value system. What is more important, higher in our value system, and not as high in our value system. For example, would anybody here die, let's say you want to be an accountant. Would you be willing to die? Somebody tells you next year you're going to die, but this year you can work for the top firm and make a lot of money. Would you do it? Not in a second. Why? Because it's not worth his life to work in this top firm. Okay? Now, let's say somebody says, either you convert to Christianity and marry a Catholic girl at the church, or die. What would you say?
Die.
No question. No question. Of course you would die. So this you would die for, this you wouldn't die for. So what's higher on your value system? It's clear. Let's say somebody would tell me the Super Bowl is coming up. Somebody would tell me, okay? I can watch the Super Bowl, but after the Super Bowl, they're going to chop off my right arm. That's what I get for watching the Super Bowl. That's what I'm going to have to pay. Okay? Would I do it? Let's say somebody says to me, to be Michal Shabbos, or I lose my right arm. What's the halacha? Of course I would do it. I would lose my right arm not to be Michal Shabbos. You know why? Because you're not allowed to be Michal Shabbos even if you're going to lose an Aver. Now today we don't do it anymore because if there are going to be infections, then your whole life is going to be threatened. You don't have to die. But just to lose a limb, Shabbos is more important than a limb. That's the halacha. So I don't know everybody in this room necessarily, but I do know a lot of people who would say, if that's the halacha, that's the halacha. I'm not going to be Michal Shabbos. Shabbos is definitely more important. Somebody would give me $1 million to be Michal Shabbos. $1 million to be Michal Shabbos. What nobody in this room would do. To go on Shabbos, I'm going to light a match for $1 million. I don't think anybody in this room would do it. I don't believe it. Okay? Now, let's say somebody gives me $1 million not to watch the Super Bowl. Would anybody watch the Super Bowl if they're getting $1 million salary not to watch the Super Bowl? I can tell you one person who wouldn't take the deal. Somebody playing in the Super Bowl. He's going to get more than $1 million, right? Uh-huh. But anyway, will we do it? No. In other words, Shabbos is worth more than $1 million to you, but the Super Bowl isn't. So comes the end of January, and there's a big Super Bowl game, and what do? People miss an entire day of yeshiva in order to watch the Super Bowl, because they stay up all night, and then they're tired the next day, so they miss a whole day. But wait a second, I thought in your value system, God and the Torah are more important than the Super Bowl. What happened? Answer is, we have a value system. However, we don't always keep to it. So first, we have to establish what's the most important, what's the second most important, what's the third most important, and then keep to it. Instead of somebody, what's more important, your family or your job? What would anybody say? Your family. So how come you neglect your family for your job? What's his answer? No, I'm making money. It's for them. So what do you answer? Your wife would rather have your attention and your time than a few more dollars. We just got to that in the Gemara in Ksubis. And it says that about a woman. That a woman would rather have her husband more and a little bit less money. That's what it says. So what about your family? The answer is, people have a warped value system, meaning they don't really think about it, even though if you would ask them, they would tell you it's more important, but they don't really think about it. So our job in this world is to realize what our values are and then stick to them. And it says that Rabbi Yochanan would call his clothing those that honor him. You have to honor your clothing are important. Clothing honor you. And you have to honor your clothing. And what did David HaMelech get punished for? Who remembers? He cut off part of Shaul's garment. What did he show? He showed that he didn't respect his clothing. People don't respect clothing. People don't respect food. People step on food. People say this is disgusting. It's food. It gives you life. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, what about a person? A person. You know, there are two reasons I'm against football for yeshiva boys. The first reason I'm against football for yeshiva boys is that people are constantly getting hurt. As a matter of fact, tonight, one of the members of our chug is not here because tomorrow morning, he's going to have ankle surgery in Kfar Saba because he played football. Two guys had to go home because they had to have surgery and they had to miss yeshiva. Nobody here is perfect. If you're doing it, if it's a parnasa, it's a parnasa. Listen, as soon as you have to sacrifice for it, nobody's making it. They're just playing. And besides the guys who went home, guys are always walking around yeshiva in casts, with splints, with all these different things. That's why I'm not against exercise. I'm not against having a good time. I'm not against gladiator sports. But I don't like to see people hurting themselves. That's why it bothers me. But nobody listens to me anyway, so there's no reason to say that. But there's something else that gets me about football. You know what gets me? Gets me is like this. A human being is God. Remember that. It says in the Pasuk that when a person commits an Aveira that he's chayav misa for, you hang him up on a tree. But don't keep him there overnight. Why not? Because the curse of Hashem is hanging on the tree. Which Rashi says means that this person hanging on the tree is Hashem. And therefore, it's not nice, it's not kavod to leave him there all night. Meaning that a human being who did a horrible Aveira, who was chayav misa, is like God. So when you're looking at a person, you're looking at the closest thing you can possibly get to Hashem. Right, those in the Ali Shur Chabura know that that's the definition of man. You want to talk about what man is? Man is the closest thing there is to Hashem. And that's why the Medrash says that the Malachim wanted to sing Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh to Adam, and Hashem had to put him to sleep so that people wouldn't think that he's God. The closest thing to God is man. It says, Kadoshim Tiyu, you have to be holy. And the Medrash says, I might think you can be as holy as Hashem. And the Pasuk says, no, Hashem is holier. But there's a Hava Mina, there's a notion that Chazal have, that a human being can be as holy as God. A human being is holier than every single human being. Is so holy. We have no concept of what it means. What the Torah tells us a human being is, you know, we have a neshama. You know what the word for neshama is in Tehillim? Chazal? Tehillim. We say every morning in davening, L'man yizamercha chavod v'lo yidom. In order that my kavod should sing to you and not be silent. What is kavod? Neshama. A person's neshama is honor. We are the most honored thing in this world. A person, a human being? Ain't come a human being. You have to give a human being such, I told you, it's the image of God. In other words, the most physical, the closest you can, God is something purely spiritual. You can't define it. But you want to get some, the closest you get to Hashem in this world is a human being. Now, you go to that human being, and what do? You take him, and you jump on him, and you throw him to the ground. Now, if you ask me who's holier, a human being or a Sefer Torah, it's push it that a human being is holier. A human being, and therefore if you see a human being drowning and a Sefer Torah at the same time, you can save one of them. What do you save? Human being. A human being is greater than a Sefer Torah. So can you imagine that somebody takes a Sefer Torah, he grabs it, he hugs it, and he throws it to the ground, and then afterwards he goes, you, you, you! That's the name of football. You, 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 right? Right? Hashem. You just took Hashem and you threw him to the ground. Where's Kavod Adam? I always like to tell the story of the Alter Mislabatka. Alter Mislabatka always talks about Kavod Adam. One time he went to the doctor and the doctor wanted to do a throat culture. Right? So he said, can you stick out your tongue? You know, the doctor said, right, you half choke and then he takes it out in a second. I always love that. The doctor said, and then they take the throat culture. So the doctor said, can you stick out your tongue? So he's he was doing all these things to try to open his mouth, but he wouldn't stick out his tongue. The doctor said, why don't you just stick out your tongue? He said, how can I stick my tongue out at a Tzelem Elohim? Not a Kavod Adam. Can you imagine going up to Reb Nevinson sticking your tongue out at him? He said, Tzelem Elohim. And if I would start talking now, there's a book which I recommend for everybody to read in the library. It's called Orat Safam. Those are the lectures of the Alter Mislabatka. It's about 700 pages on Kavod Adam. That's what his Musar always focused on. How great man is. How much respect man deserves. When I was saying respect, I mean every man deserves so much respect because every man is a little piece of God. So, it's an unbelievable book. It was actually written, the Alter Mislabatka of Nassim Tzvi Finkel. He didn't write it. It was written by three of his Talmidim. One of them was Rav Yaakov Katz, his father. Of Katz's father, of Dov Katz, he was a Talmud of the Alter Mislabatka. And it shows you, every person you meet, you have to treat with tremendous respect. In last week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shlach Nabi Atishlach. Don't send me God. Send someone else. Who's that someone else? So the Medrash has a few possibilities. Rashi says Aaron. Others say Eliyahu HaNavi. Others say there are all these possibilities. You know what the Ramban says? Ramban says, send anyone else in the entire universe. Anybody would be better than me. Moshe Rabbeinu had such Kavod Adam. Every person he said, he looked at them and he said, you are greater than me. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Hashem was speaking to him. So when he was 12 years old, he already had Ruach HaKodesh. He was able to look and see nobody was going to come from that Egyptian before he killed him. He was 12 at the time. And he also knew Hashem HaMafurash. He knew God's secret name and he was able to kill him with God's secret name. I thought Moshe Rabbeinu could be a professional boxer. You know, they get like $10 million for one match. He can just walk in there, say the shame of a foolish. The guy drops right there, TKO in the first round, right? How do you do that? How do you go and punch somebody in the face? In the face! What's a face? A face is like that, like that's the pneumius. The panim is the pneumius of a human being. That shows the deeper, the neshama that's inside of them. And somebody can go, isn't that more insulting if somebody will go and slap you in the face? Right? Isn't that an insult? It's a slap in the face. Right? Boxing and football. And if you realize I'm not saying anybody's doing anything wrong by playing football, because people don't realize that's what a human being is. You know what people think a human being is? There's some skin, and there's some blood, and there's bones, and there's tissue in case his nose is running, and there's arms, and there's legs, and there's a neck, and there's a back, and there's a spinal cord, and it's just, like somebody once wrote in Germany, the German philosopher, that if you take the human body, okay, and you go to a store of chemicals where they sell chemicals, for about, you know, $5, you can buy everything that the human body contains. You know, the amount of blood and bones and this and that. And after that, somebody pointed out, there's no secret that how the Holocaust can happen. Because that's the way they looked at a human being, the Nazis. A human being is just, you know, he's made up of, he's a piece of meat, he's flesh. He's some flesh, some blood, some bones. You know, he's got a larynx and a pharynx and vocal cords. And he's got nostrils and he's got this type of bone and he's got the left phalange. You know, I always like to see when athletes get hurt. They always have parts of the body that I never knew I had, they sprain. You know, you read the transaction. But a human being, he's a piece of God. So how do you take a piece of God and jump on him or even take him and give him a shot, give him a shot? Now people say, oh no, it's not so fun. There's definitely serious physical contact going on because people are coming back injured, even though I've never been to any of these games. But to play a serious physical contact sport means that you're taking a Tselem Elohim and you're elbowing him, you're pushing him, you're shoving him, you're throwing him. Would you do that to a Sefer Torah? If the answer is no, I'm telling you guys, and I'm glad that you came to hear it. Sometimes after a chug, I say, is anybody ever going to come back? But Baruch Hashem, sometimes people still come back. So, but this person is holier than a Sefer Torah. Think about it. So Rabbi Yochum continues. Also, when you go out, he says, if you have to give a person kavod, any person, and certainly a Jew. Last night I'm walking by I'm in the shuk, and there's an Arab sanitation worker who's cleaning up, who's just sitting, and he's enjoying a smoke. Is that his pleasure? What does he have? What hana does he have in this world? You know what hana he has in this world? All day long he's dealing with smelly, disgusting, dirty garbage. His hana in this world is to drink Turkish coffee and to smoke a cigarette. So he's sitting and he's enjoying a cigarette. He's probably not a man of great intellectual depth. And one time I said, he's a human being. So I said, shalom! You know, and his face lit up, and he gave me a nice shalom ubracha back. Who did I learn that from? From Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It says that when he was in the shuk, literally, it said the shuk in the Gemara, whenever you see the word shuk, it doesn't mean the Arab shuk. What does it mean? It means in the street. No guy ever said hello to him in the street first. He was always first. Why? Because he had such kavod adam, every person met. It's like, oh wow, another person, and another person. Now it says in the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chaf Ches, that this same Rabbi Yochanan was Nukala Torah Kula. He knew all of Kabbalah. He knew Sichas Dekalim, Vesichas HaOfos. Like, even when Shreds would talk to each other Kabbalistically, he knew all of that. He was in the highest Madregas. And yet, there was never one guy walking down the street, even the Arab garbage man. That's like, lower than low. Right, like it says about the Jewish people, right? That they were when the Jewish people were being sieged, right? The Chorban Bayis, it says that a Jewish girl was gathering hay from the dung of an Arab's donkey. So it says not only were we under the lowest nation, but we were under the lowest part of the lowest nation, right? Because the dung of an Arab donkey, right? And the Chazal de Maharal explains it. It's a mila for Am Yisrael. Because we're either the highest of the high or the lowest of the low. That's the Jewish people. So that is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was on such a high madrega that even the lowest of the low, he would find time to say hello to. When I once read about the Shlomo Karbach, he was sitting in the car and he had an open sefer. And the person said an amazing thing. He never took his eyes out of the sefer. When you're learning, there's nothing. By the way, I've looked many times. Recently I was sitting on the bus and I had an open gemara in my lap and I was looking out the window. And I thought to myself, in my life, have I ever seen anything more interesting outside the window than something inside my Gemara? Never. There are people walking north. There are people walking south. There are people walking east. There are people walking west. There are stores. What could possibly be more interesting than what's on my mind? What's the answer? Nothing, but I'm still looking outside. Anyway, when you're learning a Sefer, there's no reason to take your eyes out of the Sefer. If you're not learning, you're not learning. You're doing other things. But if you're learning, you're learning. So he learned, he never took his eyes out of the sefer until he got to a toll booth. Every time he got to a toll booth, what did he do? Picked up his head, he gave the person a warm smile, he said hello, wished them a nice day, and his head was back in the sefer. Kavod adam. The person is a human being. And what people don't do is they don't notice like Paro, again, lo shas libo, he didn't pay attention to this. And that's the cause of his sinness. People don't realize how holy a person is. Like Rashi says, chavecha shehu b'dmus yotzricha, u'makbet al b'zioncha. He's your friend, he's in the image of God, and he's makbet in his bizayon. How can you be mevazeh? How can you disgrace a person? So that is a very important lesson. So we have two things we have to do in this world. One is, we have to know what has value. That's value. But we also have to know, Rav Fittner says, ish lefi mechalalo. Do you know that in Hebrew, hey and chet are interchangeable. So what does mechalalo mean? To praise. What does mechalalo mean? To desecrate. So what's our job in this world? Our job is to do both. We have to praise. Ish lefi mahalo. You know somebody based on what they praise and also based on what they desecrate. Meaning there are things you should make fun of. There are things we should belittle. There are things we should make light of. That's why the Gemara says, all leitzanis is usur, except for leitzanis about avodah zarah. When you're talking about idols, then you're allowed to make leitzanis. You're allowed to belittle it. You're supposed to belittle it. Right? What's avodah zarah today? Today, where we come from, people aren't serving idols, but there are other avodah zarahs. And that's why it's important to make light of it. Just to realize what people think is important, you know, to realize how completely meaningless it is. And therefore, say for example, you know, somebody wins a Grammy Award. They make such a big deal out of it. You have a music award, it's on TV, right? Millions of people are watching, who's going to win the Grammys? What does it mean that you won the Grammy Award? You know what it means? It means that 10 people decided that they like your music more than they like someone else's music. That's what it means. So what? Okay, good. So 10 people voted that you're the best, you know, you're the best musical producer for this particular song. Now what? What does that mean? Oh yeah, but that's what I wanted to win the Grammy. Yeah, okay, you wanted to win. Why did you want to win? So those 10 people, okay, so 10 people think you're great. What does it mean if people think you're great? And let's say 10 million people would think you're great, or 100 million people think you're great. What would that mean? It means zero. It means absolutely zero. Guys, remember, this is a good lesson for life. Almost everything that people in the outside world think is important is 100% completely meaningless. Not that it's a little bit important. It's completely meaningless. Meaning, you know, the Oscars, the same thing. Sports, such hype. Hundreds of millions of people are glued to their television. 3 billion people are glued to their TV to watch the World Cup. Say, I don't understand. 11 people, I don't know how many people are on the soccer field. 11 people you don't know kick the ball in a net more times than 11 other people you don't know. Who cares? Can someone explain to me why this is important? For the baseball fan. So that team touched home plate. I mean, it doesn't say who really touched home plate, because you can touch home plate as many times as you want. But the trick is to touch home plate after you touch first, second, and third base. Yes? And during the game, right? Who cares how many? You're a Yankees fan. Nobody on the Yankees knows you. You don't know anybody on the Yankees. The only reason they're playing for the Yankees is because the Yankees offered them enough money to play next year. They might very well be playing for another team. The only reason you chose to like the Yankees is because you chose, but next year you can choose to like the Red Sox. That's your choice. Even if you choose to like the Red Sox, what significance does it have that the Yankees won if you're a Yankee fan? You decided to be a Yankee. You could have decided to be a fan of another team. And B, who cares? There are 25 Gentiles who, again, you don't know. You do know. You know they're taking steroids, that you know. There are a lot of them. There are 20, I don't want to incriminate all of them, but some of them. You never met them. They don't care about you. You don't really care very much about them. All you care is that they win. Now they won. So what? Can anybody explain to me, and by the way, I grew up the biggest sports fan I've ever met. And you can ask people, oh, I was a big sports fan. But if you ask people who knew me when I was growing up, I really took the cake. Yes? I took the cake. I was fanatical about it. It was Yomam Valila, it was day and night. I was focused. I would make different trades. It was very important because the general manager of my favorite team really cared about who I thought he should trade or shouldn't trade. And I would listen to these talk shows for hours, and I would watch the games, and I would buy paraphernalia. Okay? I was wacky. And then one day it hit me. Who cares? Who cares which team wins? Okay, so the other team won. Now what? My team won. Now what? So if somebody has no meaning in their life, so they say, listen, nothing has any meaning anyway. I've decided to assign value to the game, and therefore the game becomes important. That's most people. Nothing is inherently meaningful, so therefore I'm going to assign meaning to this. But if something is inherently meaningful, now you have to ask yourself, now you have to weigh everything against that. Let's say, for example, a crazy scenario. Let's say you believe in God. So is God absolute value? Is God real meaning? Inherently, objectively true? Truly meaningful? Absolutely. So now you weigh it against God. Does God care who wins? Does God care about the game? So as a pasuk we say every day in davening, Lo begvuras asusiach patz, lo vishokei ishirtze. God doesn't care about the horse, the strength of the horse, and not a man's thick legs. Which means God doesn't care who wins the triple crown. What, in horse racing? Don't they have horse racing? Yeah. Triple crown, that's the gvuras hasus. God doesn't care about that. Look, the man with the thick legs, you know, you have a guy, LeBron James, he has these big, thick legs. Ooh, you see him, he goes up and dunks over three guys. I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy a game. It's not fun to watch. It's fun. If you enjoy it, it's fun. If you don't enjoy it, it's not fun. But I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy it, but that people think it's important and that they're willing to sacrifice something more important for that. For example, you have a family. How many people, they don't spend time with their family because they're busy glued to a TV set? What's more important to you? These five African-American men or your own son? Your own son! Not that you should, not that they're not B'Tselem Elohim. They're also B'Tselem Elohim. But spend some time with your family. How do people, and they'll agree, yes, he is more important. And they're still into the game. And their wives, you know, it's an old thing, it's an old stereotype, but it's true that a lot of wives, they hate the TV because their husbands pay a lot more attention to the guys on the set than to their own wife. They're more into the game than they are into their wives. Right? Just think, this means nothing. If you have absolute value, it means nothing. If you don't have absolute value, then nothing means anything, so you can just decide one day this is important, the next day that that's important, and then you go through life, and then you make late sons. You say, look at that. 75,000 Meshugayim. They're standing, why are they cheering? You know why they're cheering? You know why they're cheering? I'll tell you why they're cheering. Because a 300-pound man who eats 12 meals a day, okay, took a 6'4", 195-pound man, and he violently threw him to the ground. That is why 75, that's a sack, it's called a sack. 75,000, what just happened? So let's say you're coming down, you've never been on the planet Earth before. So you say, what just happened? What just happened? You say, you don't realize? It was 3rd and 10, and he sacked them, now they're going to have to punt all the way from the end zone. You don't realize? And then what? 1 second, does it hurt the quarterback? Yeah, it hurts the quarterback. Yeah, he really... By the way, it hurts, by the way. I don't know if you know that. In football, when a 300-pound man violently attacks you with a criminal record, yes, and he throws you... By the way, a lot of the reasons a lot of these guys aren't in jail is because they have an outlet. Baruch Hashem. I don't know if Baruch Hashem, but what they're doing is definitely... they're definitely committing acts of violence. He violently threw him down to the ground. So the quarterback doesn't get anything, but tomorrow morning, you know what he's going to say when he wakes up? Ah! And he's not going to be able to get out of bed, and they're going to have to give him a lot of drugs in order to get him out of bed. I want to tell you that also. If you're a quarterback, they're taking drugs the next morning. Okay? Take him out of bed. Then, what about the guy who did it to him? What does that make him? It makes him more sadistic. Because that's a sadistic thing to do. To violently take you're built like rock solid. You take your helmet, you ram it into the guy's back at full force, and then you throw him to the ground. So that makes you more sadistic. So he became more sadistic, and he's going to wake up tomorrow morning in pain. So what did they accomplish? Nothing. Yeah, but you don't realize. It's now 4th down, it's now 4th and 21, and they're going to have to punt from the end zone. And then what? Oh, and then we're going to get the ball in good scoring. What do they call it? In field condition? What do they call it?
Position.
Field position. Yeah, they're going to have good field position. And then what? And then they're more likely to score a touchdown. And then what? And then they'll have 6 points. And then they'll be ahead 6-0. Oh. So what? It's a game. The whole entertainment industry, everything, most of life, people are involved in games. The world is one big, you know, Toys R Us. That's what most people the world is. Computers, everything like that. It's a game. People are on the internet, and they're playing with this, and they're playing with that. And it's just, now again, it doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy life. You should enjoy what you enjoy. But that means that you have to realize what's really important, and what's not so important. And therefore, if somebody tells me that a guy got a postdoctorate degree in astrophysics, and he told me that a Shana Aleph guy finished Mishnayos, you know, Meseches Brachos in Shemayim, they don't care about postdoctoral degrees in astrophysics. And there's nobody who believes that they care in Shemayim about postdoctoral degrees in astrophysics. There's no philosophy and there's no religion that believes that. And the guy getting it doesn't believe it. But Mishnayos Brachos, that there are a lot of people who are willing to die in order to learn Mishnayos Brachos. They're willing to give up everything. They're willing not to eat in order to learn Mishnayos Brachos. So to have a value system, to, oh, this is really important. Does that mean that one shouldn't get an advanced degree? No. You get an advanced degree if it'll help your parnasa, help your parnasa. If a person says, I'm getting an advanced degree because it helps me appreciate Hashem's creation, it helps you appreciate Hashem's creation. But just to realize that a piece of paper saying PhD, which people literally work 10 years, you say to them, what do you have now? I have a piece of paper. Now what? Nothing. I'm going to put it on my wall. Then it's going to make me feel good about myself. You know what I'm going to tell the person? I'm going to say, you are shallow. If the only reason you feel good about yourself is because you have a PhD, you're shallow. I'm not saying that we shouldn't appreciate that somebody worked hard in order to accomplish, but there is no inherent value in having a PhD. So you're going to say, no! The person's going to use the PhD to help people. He's a PhD in psychology. Now he's going to help people. Beautiful. There is inherent value to helping people. But it's not about the PhD. And this goes, guys, for everything in life. It makes sense. If I'm saying, well, tell me. Tell me. Is there inherent value to other things that we don't have given inherent value? Maybe there is. Maybe there is. But the moment you say, you accept upon yourself the God, then you have to say, God, what's important to you is important to me. What's not important to you is not important to me. And that's lefi mechala. And therefore, you have to make a joke about it. And you have to make people realize how utterly silly it is that tens of thousands of people jump up and down because a ball went in a net or because the guy passed a certain white line. He stepped over it and then, you know, he throws the ball down and he starts celebrating. Okay, because now they have more points. But it's a game. So just like when my kids play a game, I realize that it's only a game and they realize that it's only a game. Most of life is about games. And then we value what's really important. And that's the lesson of Paro. Paro lo shos libo. He didn't pay attention. He didn't pay attention because it's for him. He says, it's a letz. A letz says, what is this? God shmad. Right? So he doesn't say he made any jokes about it, but the first level of Leitz Anas is that he didn't realize that it was important. And that's what we have to do in life. And I'm not telling you what your value system should be. You guys decide for yourselves. You know, you want the Torah to be your value system? That's the one I would most highly recommend. Hashem and his Torah. Because that's real absolute objective value. But whatever your value system is, have to realize what's important and what's not important. And then what's not important, don't pay very much attention to. And realize what's a means and what's an end. So exercising is a means, and the end is, why am I exercising? In order to be healthy so I can serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. For a lot of people, exercising is the end. People in America, it's like a shul, it's like a temple. It's a shul. What's a shul? The gym. They worship their gym, their exercise. But don't you realize that this body that you've invested thousands of hours in, you've lifted weights and you're trying to eat healthy, worms are going to be eating your body up for the rest of time. Don't you realize that? Until there's no more body, and then you're just going to be the dust of the earth. So why are you investing so much in your body? What about your soul? How long is your soul? Soul is eternal. So, oh, I shouldn't exercise? Of course you should exercise. You know why you should exercise? Because the healthier you keep your body, the longer you're going to have your soul, and then you can do what's important in life. But not to make it an end. So I think that's an important lesson for all of us. In this world, the world is filled with leitzanis. They take everything important, they devalue it. And they take things that are unimportant, and then they elevate them. Oh, this is great. It's great. And let's think, I see him like, who cares? Who cares? So, oh, you know, he's $80 million. What in the world would I do if I had $80 million? What would I? So you're going to say, I give tzedakah. But they don't say his kids, he can give tzedakah. There's only so much a human being can eat. There's only so much. Today the avodah zarah is money. Today the avodah zarah is money. And you just realize how silly money is. Because people have money in order to be happy, and most people with a lot of money aren't happy anyway. And there's no correlation between a person's level of happiness and the amount of money they have. So you have to realize money has an important place in this world. You have to make money in order to eat well, to sleep well, to have a roof over your head, to support your family. But it's not the end of everything. And you know what people do? People steal because they make money more important than anything else. And they end up going to jail. But they make sure that in jail, they have a daf yomi shir and a minyan every day. A minyan! Jails with minyanim. Why jails with minyanim? How do you have 10 Orthodox men in a jail? Answer, a warped value system. Ladies and gentlemen, with that we will conclude. And I promise you, there's no doubt that if we are clear about what our values and what's important and what's not, we will always serve Hashem. B'simcha. 2, 3, 4. If you ask Hashem,